Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, these are awesome times that we're in, and I ask and I pray, Father, that you be with us, guide us, and lead us through your Spirit. And Lord, give us the anointing to get this word about the Spirit and the word are one across to the people, to speak the things of the word only. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, that's a little bit of what I want to talk about today, is the Spirit and the Word are one. You know, God wants to light our candle because we're important to Him. And though there is darkness all around us today, God has made provisions for us so we don't have to walk in darkness. The same God who commanded light to shine out of darkness wants to turn the light on inside of us. He wants to enlighten our darkness. Now let's find out how he's going to do that. Look in Psalms 18, 24 through 28. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the perfect man thou wilt show thyself perfect. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the perverse thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but the haughty eyes thou wilt bring down. For thou wilt light my lamp. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. Glory to God. David says, King David says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And the word says in John chapter 11 and verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, that's darkness, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man, that's the human spirit, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now this is not talking about the stomach. It's referring to the human spirit. The spirit of man, the human spirit, is the candle of the Lord. In the days these scriptures were written, they used candles for light. They didn't have light bulbs like we got. You know, the modern man doesn't think of a candle as a light. And today, we'd probably say it this way. The human spirit is a light bulb God uses to enlighten you. Your Bible might even have a footnote that uses the word lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The word belly is used in both the Old and the New Testaments. Usually, it refers to the human spirit. And Jesus, when talking about the Holy Spirit, says it this way. In John chapter 7 and verse 38, this is in the King James Version. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit that hadn't been given yet. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he dwells within your human spirit, for God's Spirit bears witness with our spirits. And concerning things of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to compare spiritual things with spiritual in 1 Corinthians 2 and 13. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God, who is a spirit, created man in his image and likeness. In the beginning, he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over all the earth. Adam was created to be a ruler under God and to have dominion over all the earth. God didn't intend for man to be a little worm in the dust searching for things to do and not knowing how to do them. He gave man dominion over all the earth. We have dominion over all the earth. He gave it. The Lord gave it to us. And man was to function in that realm because his candle was lit. His spirit was like God's, for it came out of God. He was in God's likeness. He was lit up just like God was. God breathed into Adam the breath of life in Genesis 2 and 7. The Amplified Bible says he breathed into Adam the spirit of life. God breathed his spirit life into man, and man became a living spirit, being made in the image and likeness of God. I believe Adam was an exact duplication of God's kind. Well, what kind is God? God is a spirit. Well, since God is a spirit, we can't contact him with their bodies. We contact him with our spirits, right? How many of you know there are angels around us? But we can't reach out and get a handful of angels, can we? They are spirits, and they don't have physical flesh, blood, and bone and bodies, right? God is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. He uses your human spirit to enlighten you, to bring revelation and understanding of things that you don't know naturally. You can be a highly educated, intellectual person and have no spiritual understanding. Your carnal mind may be educated, but your spirit may be uneducated concerning the things of God. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The book of Isaiah says this in chapter 59 and verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. Well, where does this rushing stream come from? Jesus said, out of your belly, that's your spirit, flows rivers of living water, glory to God. And when you know not how to pray as you ought, the Holy Spirit helps your infirmities or weaknesses. Romans 8 and 26. What does the Holy Spirit do? He sheds light and gives insight to your spirit when you don't know how or what to pray. Then he makes intercession through your spirit in the perfect will of God through tongues. This is spiritual light that God brings to you, the revelation that comes through your human spirit when your candle is burning. And there's no way that we can understand all the things God moves upon us to do or say. I've had people call me from many miles away and say, what were you doing on this day at this time? Because I was led to intercede for you, and I prayed in the Spirit. And when I checked my calendar, I found that they were right on. I was needing prayer at those times. The Holy Spirit knew my need and revealed it to their spirits. They didn't know how to pray effectively in their natural language, but because their candles were lit by the Lord, they had light in their spirits to pray in the perfect will of God, which is in the Spirit of God. David said it this way in Psalms 119, verse 130, the opening of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. So God's word brings enlightenment to the spirit, right? Now let's look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. In who? In the Word, Jesus. That's Jesus is the Word. And the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. This is why David said, God will send his Word and light my candle. The entrance of the Word brings light. When you know the Word of God, it brings light into you. He said in Psalms 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word is a lamp or a candle that enlightens darkness. The Word entering your human spirit enlightens your darkness. And I don't believe that we have fully recognized the wisdom that is released in the Word of God. Wisdom comes out of the mouth of God. It's His Word revealed and conceived in the human spirit. Wisdom comes by the Word of God and thrives in the human spirit. The wisdom of the Word affects everything you do and say. It'll give you light when darkness is all around you. While others are wringing their hands and wondering what in the world we're going to do, the Word conceived will bring you light. Someone might ask, what part do I read to get the wisdom of God? The simple answer is this, all of it. You can get healed on the begats or gain wisdom just listening to the genealogies of the Word of God. If you saturate yourself with the Word of God, you might just go ahead and get the New Testament on tape, play it day and night in your home. Get the Old Testament too. Give yourself to the Word. The entrance of His Word brings light. And you might say, somebody out there right now, I just don't understand how that would bring light to me. It will, because it is light, and it is life. Jesus said this. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, in John 6:63. Folks, the Word of God affects your total being. It'll cause you to make correct decisions, the right decisions, and not know why you made them. It'll bring healing to your physical body. Psalm 107:20 said, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When it says God sent His Word, it meant exactly that. Jesus was the personification of God's Word. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not prevail against the light. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8 says, If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Praise God. And if you'll notice, the Word must abide in you for you to bear fruit and glorify God. Then again, notice in John chapter 14 and verse 23, he said this, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, not just me, but we, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you love him, you'll keep his word in your temple. For your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Your human spirit is housed in this temple of God. Keep the Word in your human spirit, and Jesus will make His abode with you. The abiding Word in your human spirit will create a lifestyle fit for God. And then the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're going to set up camp inside of you. A lot of people out there might be saying, I just never know what to do when bad situations arise. I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm never where I ought to be. And they go on repeating what the devil told them. They have overdosed on the devil's word, Lord of God. And they need to try to overdose on God's word instead of talking the devil's language. And you can tell instantly when the word of God abides in them. That word will cause them to speak in line with what God said about them. Whatever I do will prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm always in the right place at the right time. Glory be to God. And God's image of you is perfected by speaking God's word after him. The word enlightens your innermost being. Your head may be screaming, you dummy, it's not so, you're lying, you're never in the right place. Sometimes it might not be, but you should continually speak what God said about you regardless of what you're experiencing in the natural. The word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and whatever you do will prosper. So even if your mistakes will prosper, if you believe for it, it's the word on your lips coming out your mouth that causes your candle to give light. Whatever you speak out of your mouth is what's going to happen to you because that's what you believe. If you believe that you're healed, then speak that I'm healed. I confess that I am healed. If you believe that you're not, you say, oh, I'm just feeling so bad. Oh, that's what comes. That's what's going to happen. King David said in Psalms 19 and 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of, O Lord. That's what God wants us to do. Speak only words that are acceptable to him. And a lot of things acceptable to God are unacceptable to religious people. Some don't even want to hear or see what's pleasing to God. They just like their old theology. They sit back and wait until God raptures them out of here, Lord of God. Listen, God wants to reveal all the mysteries to us. Now let's take a look at the attitude of Jesus concerning those who don't want to see or hear the truth. Look at Matthew 13, verses 10 through 15. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and in shall no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. And if you'll notice, Jesus said, their eyes they have closed. It was an act of their will. They chose to close their eyes. And that word closed is the same Greek word from which we get our English word squinted. They squinted their eyes. And I ain't going to believe it. The word brought the light of truth to them. And they squinted or closed their eyes to that light, because they were accustomed to darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. If the word of God had entered their heart, they would have been healed and delivered, but they would not receive it. I've seen that many times. And if you've been in a dark room for a long time, you'll squint when the doors open into the sunlight because your eyes have become adjusted to darkness and they react to sudden light. That's what Jesus was referring to. But he goes on to say, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The human spirit is capable of receiving God's word that brings great light and wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, Paul says, Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Because Jesus was the word made flesh. He is the light of men. He was the word of God in physical form, performing the work of the word here on earth. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, and he cast out demons to show us what God's word through us could do here on earth. Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended to the Father. But what? The word of God is still with us to heal and deliver. And the word works the same today just like it did back then. The Apostle Paul tapped into it when he said in Romans 10, 6 through 8, 6 and verse 8, the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. This is one way God's going to light your candle, with his word. His word will enlighten you. Speak it out of your mouth, and it'll get into your spirit. And then what? It'll bring results. Too many people out there are trying to operate with a head knowledge of the word. But that ain't going to work when you only have head knowledge. It has to be a revelation in your spirit. You got to know deep down that it works. And if you'll notice, Proverbs 18 and 14. The spirit of a man the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit who can bear? The human spirit will sustain his infirmity. And a footnote in the Bible says it will hold in or hold off his infirmity. Well, that sheds a different light on it, don't it? The human spirit will sustain, hold in, or hold off an infirmity. So if you're speaking the devil's words, it'll cause your spirit to hold that sickness on you. Speaking God's word will cause your spirit to hold off an infirmity from you. When God's word is conceived in the human spirit, the Holy Spirit got something to work with. It's the word and the spirit that brings that manifestation of God's power. Some people have the Spirit but no word for the Spirit to work with. Others have the Word but not the Spirit. But folks, it takes both of them to have the manifestation of God's power. How many of you know that words can establish circumstances? It says in Proverbs 18 and 20, a man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, take into consideration what Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verses 6 and 8. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. And then verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Paul's statement seems to amplify Proverbs 18 and 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. That's right. And I believe the word belly is referring to the human spirit or the heart of man. And it will be satisfied with what you say. It will either hold in the infirmity or weakness or the sickness, or it will cast it off. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, he'll be filled with what he speaks. You will also be filled with what you speak. Good, bad, blessing, or curse. Let's say a situation arises and you need a bunch of money. You need several thousand dollars. What do you say? The righteousness which is of faith says the word is near me, in my mouth and in my heart. So your spirit man asks, well, what does the word say? Well, in Philippians it says that your God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory if you have given like the Philippian church gave. But you look around and see like, what are you going to establish with your words? Present circumstances of lack or the promise of abundance from God's word? Whatever you speak is what you're going to get. And remember, you'll be filled with the increase of your lips. And if the word doesn't abide in you, you will establish your present circumstances by your own words. And this is why God told Joshua, don't let the book of law depart out of your mouth. Joshua 1:8. That was the word of God in Joshua's day. God knew Joshua would be filled with the increase of his lips. And God gives us great insight into this in Proverbs 18:21. This is a good one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now let me mention something here that you may not have thought about. Since death and life are in the power of the tongue, you can speak death to the words of the devil by resisting him with God's word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, glory to God. We speak life by speaking God's word. For death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whatever you speak life to is what you establish. But you've got to make that decision. You've got to make the decision to speak right with the word or to speak what your natural senses tell you. Which one are you going to speak life to, God's word or the devil's? And regardless of what God promised you in his word, if that promise doesn't get inside you, you're never going to be enlightened to it. You may hear it outwardly and know that it's in the Bible, but the most effective method for getting God's word implanted into your spirit is to speak it into your mouth, into your heart. And as God told Joshua, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Keep it in your mouth day and night. In Proverbs 3:3, we find this statement, write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Well, how can you write on the tablet your heart? Well, David gives us insight into that a little bit in Psalm 45:1. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You write these things in your heart with your tongue. Man's belly, that's his spirit, will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Your spirit will receive and be satisfied with what you speak, whether right or wrong. James 1:26 says, if any man thinketh himself to be religious, while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Your words will deceive your spirit into believing what you're saying is what you want. That's the reason words are so important. You ought not to never speak anything that disagrees with the word of God, because God's word is the final authority. Whether it looks like it's true or regardless of what you think, God's word is still the final authority. What you think is not going to change God's word, but your thoughts will change the effect of his word on you. And the point I want to drive home is God wants to light your candle. He wants to bring light into your spirit. And the entrance of his word does truly bring a bright light. David made this statement in Psalm 17:4. As for the works of men, by the word of my lips, I have kept me from the ways of violence. He said this, Father, by the words of your lips, I have kept myself from the paths of the destroyer. And that brings up another verse, 1 John 5:18. Whosoever is born of God sins not, and the evil one touches him not. Sometimes we leave everything up to God. We say, I believe God is going to take care of this situation. I'll just leave it up to him. But John said, he that is born of God keeps himself from the wicked one. Well, how do you keep yourself from the wicked one? Well, David gives us the answer in Psalm 17:4. As for the works of men, by the word of thy lips, that's God's lips, I have kept me or myself from the ways of the violent. In other words, he's saying to God, I have taken the words of your lips. And the indication is that he put them in his mouth. The word of God enlightened David's spirit until he began to see things the way God saw them. And one of the major problems in the body of Christ today is that so many see themselves as the devil sees them, not as God sees them. And if we are to be victorious, we have to get the image of God inside us and see ourselves the same way that God sees us. God sees us as he said we were, victorious, glory to God. 1 John 5:4 said, for whatsoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Beloved, now are we the children of God. 1 John 3:2. Folks, we are children of God now. We must have within us the image that God has of us. And then we will be enlightened and grow into God's fullness and become the mature sons of God by reading and meditating and believing on God's word that God wants us to be. And you know what? It's all by faith. David quotes it. David Eos quotes this a lot. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it is so awesome. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord of the Spirit. With God's word, you can create his image of you. And the more of his words you use, the more you're going to have a clear image. You know, I could tell you about my truck. And it's a blue truck. Well, that gives you a certain image. And then if I tell you this, it's a Ford Ranger. Now you got a better image. But if I told you it was a blue Ford Ranger extended cab with an aluminum toolbox in the back, you could go out in any parking lot. Might take you a while without ever having seen it and find it. You could point to it and say, there it is. Why? Because that's the image that I built in you with words. I created a video in your mind by a proper sequence of words concerning my truck. Words affect you that way by perfecting the image. And this is why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. You don't need to hear all the things the devil has said, because his words also create images. Jesus made this powerful statement as he spoke to Satan. He said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, Matthew 4:4. There is also a reciprocal to this truth. If a man shall live by every word of God, then man will die by the words of the devil. If you speak God's word, it will impart God's life to you. If you speak the negative things the enemy says about you, those words will bring defeat, doubt, unbelief, and can eventually cause spiritual death. Man shall live by every word of God. Why is that? Because there is life in every word of God. As Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There is still a spirit life in the words that Jesus spoke. He imparted the spirit that was in him into every word he spoke. the words he spoke can impart that same spirit life to you. If you can live by the word of God, then you can die by the words of the devil. The negative words of the enemy will bring death, for the world is moving in a negative stream. If Jesus' words impart spirit life, then the words of the devil impart spirit death. The spirit Satan imparts in words brings destruction. So we need to take heed of who you hear. How many of you know that words make a tremendous impression on the human spirit? So be careful who you follow after and who you fellowship with on a consistent basis. There's a lot of things in the book of Job that people don't understand. But if you really study it, I think you'll find that much of it's prophetic. The book of Job contains some astounding revelations. Look at Job 29, 1 through 4. And Job again took up his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shined upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the ripeness of my days, when the friendship of God was upon my tent." Well, I believe this chapter is also prophetic of Jesus by law of double reference. Verse 1, "When his lamp shined upon my head," and 2, "by his light I walked through darkness." Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit was only upon the prophets, priests, and kings. We got a better covenant today. As believers today, we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us. And this is why Job makes this statement, "When his candle shined upon my head." And if you'll notice, it wasn't in him, it was upon his head. In the scriptures, we read that the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were not baptized in the Holy Spirit as we are today, but he came upon them. "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle." Notice again, it's upon, not in. When Jesus talked about the Spirit of truth that would come, he said, "He will guide you into all truth, and he will teach you things to come." The Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of Christ as he's called, is going to teach and guide you. In other words, he will enlighten you. The Holy Spirit dwells in the human spirit. The human spirit is capable of receiving the things of God. And this is how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 9. "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds into our glory." Verse 8, "Which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, but as it is written, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, and which enter not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him." Praise be to God. Some people read this and say, "Yep, you know the Bible says nobody knows." But folks, we do have access to that knowledge if we read the next verse, verse 10. "But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Do you need to ask yourself this question? Why would the Holy Spirit need to search the things of God? Well, the Holy Spirit already knows the things of God. I believe it's the human spirit that searches out the things of God. Nobody can be truly fulfilled in life unless their spirit is in tune with God's spirit. The human spirit is always in search of true happiness and fulfillment that comes only by being in fellowship with our Father God. And notice again verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, neither have entered into the heart of man, Man, that seems to be a contradiction, because the next verse says this: but God has revealed him unto us by his Spirit. It did enter into the heart, but it came by the Holy Spirit into the human spirit. God enlightens us, folks, through our human spirit. There's no contradiction here, for it didn't come by sense knowledge, but it came by revelation to the heart, to our heart. Paul said to compare spiritual things with spiritual. First, he reveals the fact that the natural eye has not seen, the natural ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man through the five senses. And it didn't come by seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or feeling. God revealed it to us by his Spirit. It came by the Spirit of God into our human spirit. God wants to light your candle and enlighten your darkness. But the candle of the wicked shall be put out, Proverbs 24:20. Now, you hear the world say this: well, they're burning the candles at both ends. Well, that's a different candle there. If God lights your spiritual candle, you won't have to burn the carnal candle at both ends. You'll be in the right place at the right time and know the right thing to do. God's going to lead you by your spirit to do the things of him, and he will reveal it to you days, weeks, or months in advance. He'll teach you things to come so you can travel his road to success. And when your candle is burning, God will lead you by your spirit. The things you can't see with your natural eye, he will reveal to your spirit. And he'll say, no, don't bet on that deal. You'll get in trouble. And you might say, but I don't see anything bad about it. Everybody thinks it's good, and it really seems to be the thing to do. Then, down in your spirit, that red light comes on. Something there says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Have you ever walked up to somebody and had that red light inside of you begin to flash? And your spirit seems to draw up in a knot. And you hear this. You hear, be careful, don't get involved with this guy. There's darkness there. Things aren't as they seem. And you might say, but I don't see a thing wrong with him. You better listen to that voice inside you. That's your candle burning. Let God enlighten you. Remember, the spirit of man is the candle of the cert of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I'm convinced that if we would develop ourselves to be led by the Spirit and allow the candle of the Lord to enlighten us, we would be a success in everything we set out to do. But we must train ourselves to listen to our spirit. And you may say this, I don't understand how my spirit can do that. You don't have to understand all about it. You can know things beyond what the natural mind can understand. You could be in the right place at the right time when you are enlightened by your spirit. You need to get your mouth in agreement with God's word by confessing, whatever I do will prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It says in Psalms 112:4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Now, I'm sure you realize that the world outside is getting darker every day. But it's not something that Christians ought to get discouraged about and want to hide up in the mountains about. Because why? There is a light that shall rise in you even in the midst of darkness, it says in the Word. Somebody might say, how in the world do you think that you're going to have so much light when everybody else is walking in darkness? Because your candle is burning. God's word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Listen, folks, things are not going to get better in the world. The world will be walking further into darkness, stumbling as they go. But you don't have to stumble in darkness. You can have the light of life. And as we approach the end of the age, we as believers are coming closer to the kingdom of light, and that makes our light grow brighter. But as unbelievers, the world is getting closer to the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, their darkness will grow darker because their lamps put out. When Adam was created by God and put on earth, his candle or his spirit was burning. The Holy Spirit enlightened him through his spirit. But when he sinned, that's when his candle went out. And then he was ruled totally by his five senses. And every man after Adam was ruled by his physical senses until the day of Pentecost, when there was a candle lighting ceremony, glory to God. In the upper room, 120 candles were lit like torches. And then before the day was over, their number had grown to over 3,000. How many of you know that was a candle lighting ceremony second to none, glory to God? They could then receive and understand the Word of God. Have you noticed in the Scriptures that when Jesus told the disciples exactly what was going to happen to him, and they just stood there and said, huh? Folks, that's Arkansas talk for what? When he told them he was to be crucified and die, they said, when you set up your kingdom here in Jerusalem, we want to sit beside you, okay? They didn't understand a word he said. It went right over their head. But when they were born again, they called to remembrance the things he had said because their spirits had come alive to the things of God. His words then became understandable. Their candles were burning. Light had come. Now let's look again at Job's word in 29:4. As I was in the ripeness of my days of my youth, when the friendship of God was upon my tent. And if you'll notice, he said upon it, not in it. You'll notice a difference between the language that was used in the old covenant and as opposed to the New Testament. Jesus said in John 14:16-17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholds him not, neither knows him. You know him, for he abides with you, and shall be in you. Under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit comes to abide in your human spirit and bring revelation. He reveals things to your spirit that don't come by your physical senses. They are revealed to you from within your spirit. Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. But we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Well, what Spirit did we receive? He's telling you that God has imparted His Spirit to you. Well, why is that? So you can know the things that are freely given to you of God and not have to walk in darkness. So you won't have to say, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Nobody knows what God's done. Yeah, we know, for he has revealed them by his Holy Spirit into our human spirit. Folks, God has some great things in store for us in this age. But if you're not living for God, and if you don't put the Word of God in your heart, your candle's going to be put out. For darkness, even gross darkness, shall cover the earth in the days to come. And without the lamp of the Lord, you're not going to have a guide. And what's going to happen? Confusion is going to rule your day. But I have good news for you. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord, so you can have the light of life. And God will enlighten your darkness if you will commit your life to Him. Glory be to God. Well, folks, we're out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.